Welcome and thank you for being interested in homeopathy. That's really exciting. I'm so happy to be doing this and so excited. It's just been a massive, massive passion of mine for so long, and I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And it breaks my heart that a bunch of remedies are not in every single household. It absolutely breaks my heart, particularly children, because when I see mothers on their fifth lot of antibiotics and the baby's only 9 months old, and I know the damage that that's going to cause, and I also know that one remedy placed at the right moment can stop all of that. And it just, it really breaks my heart. And then years later, I have patients that come to me, and they come to me with children who, teenage and having severe problems with all sorts of things, whether it's skin, hormones, or whatever. And if only they had known about homeopathy, it would have made such a difference. So it can change lives, and it is miraculous. And I'm absolutely heartbroken as well what the Western world has done to the perception of homeopathy. And it is shocking that they've almost run us into the ground in terms of homeopaths. And part of that is because they can't make any money. There's no money to be made out of homeopathy. The money is for the homeopathic practitioner. The hours that you spend, that's what you're paying for, because these tiny little remedies, they cost nothing or very little to produce. You have enough for a lifetime if you of one remedy if you buy, $10 bottle, and there's just no money in it. So it's heartbreaking. But I'm here to give you this 2 hours where, by the end of it, some of you will already have knowledge, but some of you won't. And by the end of it, those who don't, I want you to be able to use remedies and Bach flower essences as well in your life. And you can use them with your friends and family as acutes, because the most amazing thing about it is that it tells your body this direction or that direction. It's like, this is what needs healing, and it gets the body to do it itself. And that's the main difference between allopathic and homeopathic, because allopathic medicine does things to you. So it stops the pain, it kills the infection, but it doesn't always take away the reasons why the pain is there in the first place, and it doesn't always support the reason why the infection grew. Because if you throw vinegar or acid over a field of beautiful flowers, nothing much will grow, but mushrooms and some odd plants here or there. And that's what we do to our guts. That's what we do essentially to our bodies, is that we create a situation, an environment in our bodies where we're not well enough to be able to heal ourselves. So that's in an absolute nutshell what homeopathy is all about. So it's going to be very heady, a lot of head stuff, a lot of mind, very different from how I normally teach, because obviously what I teach is very different normally. But I just felt it was so important. I mean, Aaron has been asking me to do this for a while, and I keep saying to him, okay, I'm happy to do it because I want people to have the tools, but other people are not going to know that, and we're not going to have much interest. But I said, okay, we're going to do it anyway. And he was hoping for big interest, of course, and which is fair enough. That's his job. And I just knew that whoever's going to be on this call is going to have some help and tools to deal with not just physical, emotional, but spiritual growth as well. So you are the chosen few, and whoever watches this afterwards on replay or whatever, they will enjoy it too. So, who am I and how did I get into this? So I qualified as a homeopath in 2006, and I've been doing homeopathy or using homeopathy since my 20s. So we're talking about 40 years. And what happened to me was that I was having recurrent urinary tract infections, and it was getting very serious. I had to have surgery for it at one point, and it was monthly, and it was constant antibiotics, and I was really, really unwell. And nothing seemed to improve it, even the surgery, nothing seemed to improve it. And it was going on and on and on. And I went to a pharmacy in South Hampstead in London, run by a guy called Mr. Mystery, wonderful guy. And he has had been a pharmacist and was a pharmacist, and he was running this pharmacy, and he had been given a terminal diagnosis of double lung cancer, I believe. And he decided that he was going to find alternate ways of treating himself because the pharmacy was right next to the hospital. And they said, "We want your lungs for science." And he said, "When I'm dead, you can have them, but it's not going to be for a long time." Anyway, he went away and he studied homeopathy, and he was from India, and in India, homeopathy is huge. It's very, very well used there. And a lot of the really the best homeopaths come out of India because the training is taken very, very seriously. And so he got a lot of good support. And I went into him, and this was years later when I went in, and I told him the situation. I was filling another prescription for yet another lot of antibiotics. And he said, "Try this." And he gave me a remedy. It would have been this isn't the remedy, this is aconite, but this is his pharmacy, because he's still going, or his son runs it now. And he gave me a remedy which was Apis, which is made of a bee, because Apis is a bee. And we're talking about, well, I'll go into how that the remedies are made later. But he gave me the remedy and he said, "Take one of these just at the next, you can take it now. And then in the future, whenever it's just starting, take it straight away." Anyway, I took it and I couldn't believe it. It went and I didn't have to take the antibiotics. And not only did it go and I didn't have to take the antibiotics, I didn't have to take any more antibiotics because I didn't have to go to the doctor again for urinary tract infections for decades. They just stopped. And it was beyond me, a miracle, absolute miracle. So I didn't pay too much attention to it, other than the fact I knew he was there. And whenever I had issues, I'd go and get remedies. But then when I had my son in 2000, my best friend in San Francisco said to me, "You have to go back to work. Your son," I was doing counseling and various other things before that. "Your son is about 8 months old. You need independence. Study homeopathy. That's what I'm doing, and I want you to do that." And I always did everything she said because she was always absolutely right. So that's when I started studying. So that was 23 years ago. So I knew a fair amount about it because I'd had different remedies, but I hadn't put my head down and started seriously studying. So that's what happened. I started studying and I've been in practice ever since. I'm one of the very few people in my cohort. I was in two different colleges. It was a 4-year training, and very few of us are still practicing because homeopathy has just been shot down and shot down and shot down. It gets harder and harder to practice. So during the time that I was a homeopath, I specialized more than anything because of my own issues in allergies. That was my specific thing. And I did a lot of skin cases, so a lot of eczema, which often related to allergies. So those things and hormonal stuff, they were my specialisms, although homeopathy, for those English people, maybe this was in America, but one of the beers, I think it was Heineken, is Heineken reaches parts that other beers don't reach. There was a whole thing many years ago, an advertising campaign. And that's the same with homeopathy. Homeopathy reaches parts that other medicines don't reach. And so anyway, so I kind of, I've treated most or many, 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 many things, or worked with many, many, many things. There's certain things you can't say you treat, i.e. cancer. Officially, you're not allowed to say you treat cancer. It's illegal to treat cancer. You can treat the symptoms of it, but you can't treat it. But anyway, so What happened as well, because as you know, I'm a very spiritual kind of person, and so of course I really resonated with homeopathy because of the way that it's made, and I discovered, quite excited then, that I discovered that Moses in the Bible, Moses, oh my goodness, my head's going all funny. Yes, Moses went up to the top of Mount Sinai. I always get confused with that story for some reason. And I think it's because my son had to do a sculpture when he was at nursery of Moses going up the mountain of Sinai. And for some reason, I always get confused because I get hooked into that memory. But anyway, he went up to get the Ten Commandments, and he ha channeled it basically. He got it from God, the burning bush, all of that stuff. And he came down, and the people had all, while he was away, built idols made out of gold. And he was very upset with them that he, you know, they wasn't staying with God and all of that. Got them to burn all of the idols and took some of the ashes and gave it back to them, which is known as a spagyric, is a sort of a spagyric remedy. So in effect, Moses was the first homeopath. But what homeopathy does is it frees the essence of whatever it's being made out of. And homeopathic remedies are made out of anything. You can make a homeopathic remedy out of a crystal, out of a plant, out of an animal product, a disease product, out of anything and everything. And it frees up that signature, that energy. And it is quantum, because we don't understand how it's even possible that we get this tiny part of something and dilute it over and over and over. And through the dilutions, with each dilution, it makes it more potent, it makes it stronger. But there have been, and I won't go into the physics of it because my son would have a breakdown if he heard me, because he's a scientist and I'm not qualified as a scientist. But there is something about quantums when they're very far, molecules, when they're very far away from each other, when they meet each other, they get very excited. So it's something about that energy, and I won't go in. There are people that try and explain homeopathy through quantum physics, but I would not dare do that. But what I found is not only the magic, the kind of feels like like an alchemical process that creates homeopathy, which is really so magical. It wasn't only that that just excited me. It was the fact that I started to see changes with my patients over the months that I treated them. They'd come in for a rash and they'd leave completely different people. They'd have, you know, so many emotional and spiritual expansions and understandings and insights from the remedies. And I really focus on that. So I became, you know, my thing was spiritual homeopathy. And I started to use many remedies that were associated with that. And I started to notice that people who were high vibrational people, in particular, people that were doing the kind of work that we do, the work of sensitives and healers, that we were working with energy. So our bodies were, you know, as little, you know, servants of spirit, kind of got the message about energy in all sorts of different ways. Might be, you know, using, as Carol saying, you know, about that she was a reflexologist. So it might be whether it's reflexology or whether it's cranial osteopathy or whether it's acupuncture, just this understanding of energy. So we naturally respond to remedies because the remedies, if our bodies are energetically attuned, then it'll be easier for us to work with the remedies. So I started to find that it worked particularly well with people that were kind of energetically attuned. And I also found I got, for some reason, I had a very a big client base of, I can't remember which sect it was, but the Christian sect that, and forgive my ignorance, and it was a while back, so I don't remember, a bit like the Brethren, I think they're called, the Brethren. So they don't believe in electricity and things like that. They're very, very natural. And they have a lot of children and such like. And they're very religious. So I had a group of those that came to me for a while. And then I had worked with very, very Orthodox Jewish people for a while as well. And I found that, again, the more spiritual they were focused in their lives. It seems like the homeopathy just, worked in a plus way. Did the usual stuff with everyone else, but it like had this additional oomph of kind of energetic resonance. So a little bit about the history. So it's homeopathy is a holistic system. It's called holistic because we look at the whole picture. We look, oh, thank you, Ranga. Yes, Amish people. Yes, it was a particular sect so may not have been Amish, but very, very similar. So, yes, by the way, with questions, if you have questions, put them in the chat box because I will answer them at the end. Because the chances are I've got so much to teach you that unless it's something I need to answer immediately because I'm not going to cover it, then I will answer it at the end. So we look at all the person. We look at what they're, what's happening to them on a nutritional level, what's happening to them with their emotional symptoms, their physical symptoms, their spiritual symptoms, what their lifestyle is like, maintaining causes, which is in homeopathy, we use that phrase because if they've got a diet of McDonald's and Coke, then we know that the conditions that we are treating. However much homeopathy we use, there's a maintaining course. Their nutrition is one of the troubling factors that are going to interfere with their healing, no matter what. So it's a holistic system. We don't just look at, oh, here's your thumb. There's a little wart on the thumb. We'll burn it off, and that's the end of it. We look at why is there a wart? Are there warts elsewhere? What is the condition of the body doing that creates that? What other symptoms has this person got that may relate to the warts? Are the warts the usual kind of warts, or are they particular kind of warts? Are they warts that are more red than usual? Are they warts in a particular place, et cetera, et cetera? And it was developed a couple of hundred years ago, and it was developed by a guy called Samuel Hahnemann, who was a German physician. And he was struggling with the way that medicine was really nasty, that whole kind of leeches and bleeding and all of that stuff that they were doing. And he got to the point he couldn't take it anymore. So he started looking into the idea that like cures like. And now, for some of you, you may have heard of the hair of the dog. You may have heard of if someone has burnt their, if a chef burns their finger, then they will heat it. So it's like the heat for the on the heat. I've never tried that, and I'm not suggesting you do, but apparently that's a thing. But certainly hair of the dog. And then you've heard a little bit that hurts you, a little bit that ails you. Take a little bit that ails you, which is like a folklore. And this like cures like suggested that the substances that are capable of making you sick are also the substances that are capable of making you better. And that's what I talked about with what it does is it tells the body, this is the problem. So, nettle is the problem, nettles, stinging nettles. So it's like this is, you've got stinging symptoms, urinary tract infections that are stinging symptoms. So take some of this. It's like nature tells us, nature gives us a lot of clues, which are amazing. So we get this little clue into our body and our vital force, which is, the energy within us, says, right, come on, guys, now we know what to deal with, let's go. And it's kind of like in counseling, when you have a counselor or a tarot reader who sits in front of you and you just don't know what's wrong with your relationship, but you know that it just doesn't feel right. And the tarot card comes up and it shows, I don't know, it shows the tower and everything is fine. And you're like, no, oh, but I've got such a lovely relationship and everything's fine. Or the counselor says, I hear that you're telling me that you're very happy in your relationship. But your partner's stolen all your money, is nasty to your cat, lies to you, and suddenly you're like, oh yes, wow, oh I hadn't seen it. It's in the shadows. And so as soon as you know what the problem is, you can start to address it. And that's what homeopathy does, shows you what the problem is in a kind of symbolic way, by giving you a bit of whatever it is. So Okay, so that's one of the main kind of primary things that we have to look at with homeopathy. The other thing is this idea that I talked about before of minimum dose. That is another, one of the important core principles of homeopathy, where you give the person the smallest amount of whatever it is that the problem is. And it's done by this process where they get the actual object. So let's say we have, this is my pendulum, which is a seed, a Rudraksha seed. So let's say they take a little bit of the seed and they put it into a pot and they grind it down and they take a tiny bit of the dust and they put that dust into a glass of water. Well, actually, they'll put it into a container and then they'll add 100 drops of water and they'll add one tiny amount of this dust. And then they sh go through a shaking, a vigorous shaking and dilution series of kind of shaking it up, then taking one drop, putting it into another 100 drops, and then shake that up. And different people are doing it slightly different ways, but that's the main principle of it. And the shaking somehow energizes the remedy, which is really incredible. And as it goes through this dilution process, it enhances the healing properties and it also reduces the amount of toxicity. So if you take, for example, aconite, which is wolfsbane is another way name for it. This is one of our most used remedies. Now, this, if you took it in its natural form, it would kill you. A few seeds would kill you. It comes from a plant. And monkshood is the native name of it. So a few seeds would kill you, but it's so diluted that actually what happens is there's no toxicity in it because it's been diluted so much. So not only does it not kill you, it doesn't make you slightly sick, it doesn't cause side effects. So you can give remedies to animals, babies, and elderly people. And sick people, which may also makes it incredible because there's no toxicity. The thing that it does do that sometimes is a little bit annoying is that your body doesn't have like a fixed way of reacting to things. We don't have, we can give one, I can give one of these to one person, and their body will say, right, I'm going to heal everything all at once. And then you can go through a period, sometimes very, very rarely, where you have a reaction to the remedy that is telling you it's the right remedy. So your body heals faster than it should. In my whole practice, all over all these years, I've only ever had a problem twice with that. And all you do is stop taking the remedy, and usually it's fine. So it's incredibly safe to take. And that's another thing that, allopathic medicine, as we know, almost everything has side effects. And so it doesn't look very good if you go to a doctor and they give you a medicine and it comes with a load of side effects. And then you go to a homeopath and say, well, there's no side effects of this. It's like, well, which are you going to choose? So it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm not saying there isn't a place for allopathic medicine. I'm saying we are complementary. And I always say this to my patients, we're complementary, we're not alternative. We should all be working together because sometimes you need the big guns. If you have a rampant infection that needs to stop now because something terrible might happen, you immediately go in with the hardest, strongest drug that you could possibly get and an energetic medicine that might take several days or weeks or even months. No, you would go in with hardcore antibiotics. So if someone has chopped their arm off, you're not going to grow an arm back with homeopathy. You're going to, stop it. You're going to heal up the wound, and then you're going to give them, a way of managing that. So there are over 6,000 remedies. Because what you're doing is you're looking for what's called the similimum, which is the remedy which is most like that person. And if there, there are billions of us on the planet and there aren't billions of remedies, and how would you know that? How would you work that out? What is your particular remedy? So we give what is most similar, and that is based on a series of questions where you ask a whole bunch is a detailed consultation, and it's highly personalized. You know, which direction do you sleep in? Do you sleep on your side? Do you sleep on your back? Do you like the ocean? Do you like mountains? Are you okay in the sun? Do you like sour food? Do you like sweet food? And if any of you've had homeopathic medicine, you'll know it's like, why are they asking me these questions? What's this got to do with anything? But what it tells us is it gives us a picture of what that remedy is like in a human being. Because at some point, a homeopath has given a tiny bit of that remedy to themselves in the olden days, or a group of patients, and seen what symptoms start to arise. It's called a proving. And so they know that those symptoms that come about as a result of a proving are the symptoms that it can treat. So, for example, stinging nettles, if you get, a rash that's, really stingy and itchy and goes red, we know that the nettles itself do that, and we know that nettle in homeopathic potency will stop it. So, hope you're still with me. Have any of you just put your hand up in the screen. Have any of you had homeopathic treatment? Just do that if you have. So, a couple of you have had homeopathic treatment. Okay, good. And do any of you use remedies regularly? So, do you, and you can even do this if you want by, in the screen. Thank you, Runga, for using the thing, and Carolyn as well. But have any of you actually, do you have a kit that you access regularly or treat your family or friends or anything like that? No. Okay. Oh, Valkyria. Wonderful. Okay. So, you'll know how amazing it is, and the rest of you will come to know how amazing this is. Aha, yes, wonderful. That is a fabulous book. And people, to have that book as a mother is probably, oh, there you go. Yes, yeah, probably the best thing you can do as a parent or a grandparent is to have, the basic homeopathy book, so you know what to go to if there's an issue with your child or grandchild. Okay, so let me carry on. So there are two schools of practice in homeopathy. There's complex or practical homeopathy, and there's classical homeopathy. So basically, what we've got here is we've got the classical are the old timers in terms of not necessarily old timers because it can work beautifully, but they're the people that abide by the traditional methods of homeopathy that have been around since the time of Hanuman. And they essentially use one remedy at a time. They do a holistic approach. They use the law of similars, like cures like, and every person is treated uniquely. They go for the smallest possible dose. And then you have complex or practical homeopathy, where you'll find, and if you've been to a homeopath, have any of you been to a homeopath and had actual treatment with a consultation? Okay, well, Kyria has, and Rosemary, okay, and Trish as well. So you'll know that, some of you were just given one remedy to take at a time, and others might have been given a bunch of remedies altogether that, you had to take. One on a Thursday, one on a Monday, one, every month, one every week, one every day. And some of you might have got a combination remedy that was several remedies in one. So that's kind of complex practical. So they use those kind of combinations. And if you buy in a health food shop, you buy a cold remedy for homeopathy, it's going to be a combination remedy. They also work with supporting the organs of elimination. So we're talking about liver and the gut alongside constitutional remedies. Now, for example, I scratched my head the other day and I noticed a slightly dry, tiny bit of dandruff, which is very unusual for me. And I know that it means my liver's getting a bit sluggish, which it does over time. And I need to take an organ support, which is a remedy called chelidonium. In homeopathic potency, I need to take it, for a week or so, and it'll just support my liver and then my liver will start functioning a little bit better. Happens over time, especially if you're taking a lot of supplements or if you're not taking a lot of medication or if you're just a liverish type, which I was born with very severe jaundice. So my liver's always been my weakest organ. So they might use organ support. And it's also often symptom based. So they will look at what's the top symptom. So what's happening for you right now that that you're coming into treatment for and is really the most recent thing that you've had or thing that you're really worried about. And they will treat on that first. Not always. They might say, well, look, you know, that rash is something, yes, it's been annoying, but we need to really look at you know, this severe cough that you have. But generally speaking, it's the symptoms. And it's less individualized. So what you will find when you are looking for a homeopath, if you do look for a homeopath, then the best question to ask is how long have you been in practice? Because they may be classical homeopaths, they may be practical homeopaths, and they kind of fight amongst themselves. And you want to know how long they've been in practice, and preferably to get a recommendation from somebody else. That's the best way to do it if you can. And also, have they treated the particular thing that you are going to them with? And if so, have they had success with it? So those are most important things. But the priority is how long they've been in practice, because the reality is that you, as a homeopath, you learn on the job. You can learn the basics. It takes 4 years to do that. In England, you have to get to a training that's equivalent to first level kind of nurse. So you know a lot of the anatomy and physiology. And then you learn the remedies, you learn the conditions, et cetera, et cetera. But the real work is in the actual job. And someone came to me recently, because I don't take very many new clients anymore, because I'm focused on the mediumship and psychic work, but I still do have my practice. And so someone came to me and they had a particular condition, which was something I hadn't treated, which is just one of those things. You know, I could easily have treated it 20 times, but I just hadn't. So I said, look, I haven't treated that particular condition. So why don't you go elsewhere? And I suggested someone that knew a lot about that. So that's, if you're looking for a homeopath, that's the way to do it. How are remedies made? So I talked about their natural sources, mostly, you know, plants, minerals, animals. And then there's some very interesting ones like the North Pole, or Berlin Wall, and, you know, Chalice Well water and all sorts of other amazing things. But they, as I said, they get the actual substance. They prepare it by repeatedly diluting and succussing, which is the shaking. And then each dilution is labeled with a potency. And the potencies are usually C potencies in England or X potencies. And the higher the potencies, the more dilution, the less of the actual substance, although there's pretty much very little of the substance left in most of the potencies, if any. There's just so much information on the internet about what potencies to take, but I'll go through that a bit more in as we go on. And usually they are tiny little pills, as I showed you. You know, they're tiny little pillules. They could be grains, and they could even be liquid drops. But usually they're most often seen in these sugar tablets. So they're made of sucrose, and then they're energized with the substance through an alcohol, usually an alcohol-based substance or tincture is put onto them, and it kind of absorbs the homeopathic remedy or electronic signature, which is the way that I've done it over my time. So it's used for many different conditions, from acute illnesses like coughs, colds, and burns, to chronic conditions like allergies, arthritis, depression. And it's commonly used for things like stress management, improving sleep, enhancing your overall vitality. And as I said, it's very safe, which is amazing. A little bit more about provings. Provings are foundational to homeopathy. They determine the symptoms and the illnesses that substances cause, as I said before, and they can then cure them in potentized form. So originally, they were based on recording the toxicology and effects of crude substances, which were tested on animals and on human volunteers. But more recently, we have homeopathic potencies, not the crude substances, that are proved, so that people don't have to go through the side effects of the actual stuff itself. And also, many modern provings are done with double and triple blind studies to remove any bias. And if you have a look at a lot of the studies, particularly the more modern ones, we have been so careful to tie up the idea that there is any kind of cheating in the way that we do the research on our remedies. And we are rigorous, or have become rigorous, with our studies, more so than a lot of pharmaceutical companies, more so than a lot of other scientific studies, because we know that we are being attacked all the time. And there is so much incredible evidence to show how powerful homeopathy is. So it's really, it's good if you're doubting it in any way to have a look. And unfortunately, and I went through all of this, I went to the Houses of Parliament to talk about it with members of Parliament when they had a committee about it. We had a homeopathic hospital in London for many years, and we had GPs, local doctors that prescribed homeopathic medicine. We had a college in Oxford that taught doctors homeopathy, and for decades, doctors were going along with it happily because they knew it worked. And then all of a sudden, it started in England. So they say, I'm not sure if this is a conspiracy statement or not, but so they say that as soon as we started selling the homeopathic remedies in Boots, which is the biggest chemist or pharmacist in this country, and there's many Boots in every high street, the minute it was available there, excuse my language, the you know what hit the fan, and we started getting attacked. And from then on, it's just got worse and worse and worse. And it came to the point where in Australia, certainly in England and some other countries, there were huge, massive research, or not research, consideration of all the different studies that have been done and reports, that's the word I was looking for, on homeopathy. And they came out with damning evidence, like, no, it hasn't been done properly and everything else. And there was kickback from a lot of homeopaths and a lot of people, supporters of homeopaths, saying, this isn't right. And then there was like, well, actually, yes, we know it is actually effective, but never mind. And particularly in Australia, it was a massive big thing. The person that came up with the original report came up with a report that said homeopathy is very effective, and he was told to go away and do it again, did it again, and came up with homeopathy is not effective. So all these governments that were supporting homeopathy were just suddenly, were put in a position, and the loudest voices sometimes have the most effect, and those people who influence social media now and media have the biggest effect. And at that time, the media got involved. There's a lot of horrible stuff that happened. I mean, I started my homeopathy at a time when homeopathy was growing. So I saw the whole decline, the whole attack, and the way that it was happening. And it was just so shocking. And I remember my mentor and teacher said to me, one day you will not be able to say that you're a homeopath. It will become a problem for you. And he was the creator of a machine that makes remedies by machine, which is an incredible device, uses radionics. And he said, I'm going to rename the machine so people don't know that what it's for is making homeopathic remedies, because one day they'll come after me. And I didn't believe him. I thought, he's talking rubbish, he's bad. And of course, we're there. We're at that point, which is beyond belief. But that's the way it is. So, so that's what you need to know about provings. Now, I've done some provings myself, And I did it because I wanted to prove the process worked, and I was fascinated in it, and I was very enthusiastic about homeopathy, still am. And I was crazy about crop circles, and some of you know that about me already. That was just seemed like this really bizarre phenomena that was going on in the fields around England at the time, mostly England, that these patterns would appear in the fields. And I was thinking, this is crazy. How does this happen? You know, then I want to know if there's something to this. And I will know that if I do a homeopathic proving on the wheat that comes out of those different formations and see if it relates in any way to the patterns or if it has effects on people. So I did about five or six different formations, and I took wheat, you know, and all it takes is one or two kernels, and I sent them away to Ainsworth, and they made, which is one of our biggest homeopathic pharmacies, and they made it officially, like down the line, proper remedies, and sent them to me in tiny little vials. And I sent them out to a large number of people that didn't know each other and didn't know me. Some of them were homeopaths, some of them weren't. And their job was to take one of these every day and to track what happened, what kind of symptoms or what feelings or what changes were going on. And it wasn't a huge study. There weren't 200 or 500 people. It was a small study, but in a way I was doing it more than anything just to because it was interesting in terms of crop circles, but also for myself, I wanted to see the process. And I couldn't believe it. Some of the rem some of the and there's you know, I went into each of those formations, and the one formation, which is the B formation, which I've got this round my neck, which is actually the B formation itself made into a pendant. But the B formation experience I had was mind blowing. When I arrived there, was with my father in his 70s and my son, who was 5 or 6. And they were like, all of a sudden, the two of them were like, they'd drunk 10 cups of coffee. They were going bananas, the two of them. And, you know, both my son and my father wanted to go back to the car. So they ran down one of the track lines, or the tractor lines, and one was in one tractor line, the other was in the other, and they were running, both of them. I mean, my son had never run that far because it was a long way. You know, full force, both of them were like, honestly, it's like somebody had put, you know, 10 Duracell batteries into them or something. I just watched it and thought, what is going on? And I could feel the energy. And of course, I'm sensitive, so I feel the energy in the formations. And you get a sense of which chakras they're affecting. And there's been some incredible research again about formations, which is another thing that's being. It's being dismissed and put down, and people saying, "Oh, I made that." It's like you can't even walk around it in the time that they said they made it. It's just bizarre. And there are some that are definitely man-made, but there are some that there's no way they could be made by people. They're just so accurate, and the geometry in them is geometry that physicists and geometrists and mathematicians have been scratching their heads about for years. So it's just mind-blowing. Anyway. The one remedy that was the one that I'd had the strongest reaction to when I was in the formation was this remedy. I had, out of that number of people that I had, huge numbers, like statistically, changed their lives overnight. I mean, there was one guy that happened to be on business in Glastonbury, and he saw a house in a window of an estate agent, had no intention of buying a house, went in, said, "I need to look at that house," went to look at the house and bought it. And he was saying, "I don't know if this has anything to do with the remedy, but my life has just dramatically changed. I don't understand it. It's like this, and it's like I had the power and the freedom and the energy to make this massive change in my life." And several relationships, long-term marriages that were really not very good marriages, suddenly just broke down, and the person left or whatever. And they just realized, they came to a realization. So I use that Remedy X, I call it, or use my Remedy X, for very serious conditions where people came in with habits or patterns or were very stuck in their life and just couldn't shift the habits that they had. And I had one woman, and I may have talked about this in one of the academy meetings, although possibly not. I had one woman that came to see me that was having, she was doing serial meeting men online. She was happily married, beautiful children, Everything was fine, perfect situation. You'd never think there was any reason. And she would have sex with them in a hotel room, strangers, and go home. And she couldn't stop this addiction. And she couldn't get how serious it was and how dangerous she was putting herself in this dangerous situation. And how if anyone found out how terrible it would be. And I gave her the remedy. I didn't tell her what it was. I just said, oh, you know, and I don't normally, unless they come in with a symptom, I won't necessarily say why I'm giving them a remedy. Stopped overnight. She realized, she suddenly had this realization. It's like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And she stopped. So, you know, it was very exciting for me to do the proving and to see for myself. I had no doubt that homeopathy worked, but I wanted to, you know me, I'm very cynical. I want God to stand in front of me in 3D before I believe anything. You know, it's like I really need to see the proof. And so for me, that was really the proof. So, how to prescribe remedies. This is the important bit for you. So the best thing to do if you're in England, there's a company called Ainsworth, and there's also a company called Helios, which is spelled Helios. And most countries will, you might even be able to get the Ainsworth kit sent to you overseas. But most homeopathic pharmacies, and I know there's, I think it's the Hahnemann Laboratories in America, but most homeopathic remedies sell kits. And the kits are amazing because this is called a first aid kit. So they are little bottles, and you can see most of mine are empty. I have one in my car, I have one in my treatment room, and I have one that I have as a spare. And then I can fill the remedies up anyway with my machine. But this it comes with it's got the little name, what potency, they're all 30C potencies. And this is an Ainsworth one. So they're all 30C in this particular kit, but this is a first aid kit. But you can also get a travel kit, which is really useful. So say for example, you get seasickness or a sunstroke or something from a food bug from the food or whatever. So it's designed specifically for travel. You've got a childbirth kit, which is amazing. You've got a children's kit, mother and baby kit, which is amazing. So there's certain kits that are made specifically for things, but this one, which is the 42 remedy kit, I recommend if you're going to buy one in England, because there's the 36 remedy kit, which I think Helios and Ainsworth may do a smaller one. But the 42 remedy kit gives you pretty much enough remedies to run a practice on. If you had to run a practice, obviously you want several thousand, but you know, or hundreds. But if you run a practice, then most of your cases will want these 42 remedies because they are the ones that are most used. So then you get the most amazing book. And Runge was saying earlier that Dana Allman, who is an amazing homeopath, has a very, very good book. And there's lots, I can't, was it was it the Andrew Locke book that you have, Valkyria, or was it Miranda Castro? Because I recognize the front of the cover, but I can't remember who the name is.
It's
Hello.
a Canadian doctor, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's Alan Corviller.
Okay. Oh, there we go. So I thought I recognized the cover, but it's I don't know that book. So wonderful. Okay, so there's another one. Thank you. So there's another one. But there are quite a few amazing kind of first aid books, but this kit comes with its own remedy prescriber, which is really fabulous. So what you do is you clearly identify the primary symptoms, and then you look at, you have to be as specific as possible. So if it's a headache, is it a burning sensation, a stinging sensation, a throbbing sensation? Does it feel like someone's got a vise around your head? Does it feel like someone's stabbing you? You know, we think of pain, and no one thinks to say, well, what kind of pain do you have? You never, very, very rare you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, yeah, you say what hurts. Well, how does it hurt? They don't, because they don't need to know. It's like a painkiller is a painkiller, but we need to know specifics because each remedy, there are hundreds of different remedies for headache, hundreds of different, thousands of different remedies for pain. So we need to be as specific as possible. So the nature of the pain, the location of the pain, the characteristics of the pain. So for example, let's have a look. So you have in the book, you have two sections. You have one section that gives you the remedies, like the individual remedies. So this is gelsemium, which goes along with flu. It's one of the main flu remedies, but it also comes along with anticipatory anxiety and agoraphobia. So it's got a whole bunch of things. It's not just flu. Now, gelsemium in here has, if you go to flu, Joe will in a sec. Oh, flu is actually very complex. I probably should have chosen an easy one. But influenza has one, two, or one, two, three, four, five, six, seven of the remedies out of these 42 will treat flu, but it depends on your type of flu. So aconite is for sudden onset, the early stages of flu, if it comes on after exposure to cold, dry, windy weather, and it's marked with shivering, and it's particularly good at stopping that agitation. Belladonna is also sudden, violent onset. Sometimes you wake up with flu, sometimes it develops during the day. Sometimes it's like 1 minute you were fine, the next you went outside, you got chilled, you came in, you suddenly felt ill. Belladonna's also sudden and violent onset. You get a flushed face, you get hot red skin, glaring eyes that look, very high feverish eyes, and a throbbing headache or a bounding pulse, little or no thirst with the fever, or can come with being delirious, more delirious than anxious. And the symptoms are aggravated by light, like if you open the curtains, by touch, by a jarring sensation, or by noise. So then in contrast, just to give you a contrast to that, you've got bryonia, which is a slow onset over a few days, and you ache in every muscle. Belladonna may not do that. And all the symptoms are worse when you move. Again, belladonna may, or the others may not do that, but you're better for rest. You've got real dryness of the mouth and the skin. The tongue is coated. The lips are dry and cracked. The patient is very thirsty. So if you can't decide between two remedies, you've got one that's thirsty and one that isn't, and your patient is, or you are very thirsty, you're drinking more than normal, that will give you a clue as to which of the remedies. So even if they're cold externally, so you can, they've got ice around them, they're in an ice bath, they still feel hot, or they still want fresh air or cold applications. So you've got it all in this book. And just to give you an idea, there's anxiety, arthritic and rheumatic pain, back pain, bites and stings, boils and abscesses, chicken pox, colds, constipation, coughs, cystitis, diarrhea, earache and glue ear, fevers, hangovers, hay fever, headaches, just all in this book. It is absolutely amazing. So you work out those modalities, like what makes things better, what makes things worse, where it is, all of those kind of things that that you're being asked about or shown in these books, and that's how you work it out. Now, if you go to a professional homeopath, in their little book, their version is a little bit bigger. So this is our Materia Medica. This is the one that I use, and you've got hundreds and hundreds of remedies and pages. Sometimes it's a short section, sometimes it's 5 pages for one remedy. So it's not just for gelsemium, agoraphobia, flu, and whatever the other one was. Anticipatory anxiety. There's hundreds of things. So then your other side of your little book is your your repertory. And again, hundreds of pages. So if we looked up flu in this repertory, it wouldn't have 10 remedies. It would more likely have, a page of remedies. But alongside that, because, if you're a homeopathic practitioner, you're treating complex and chronic conditions, and you can't really treat complex and complex and chronic conditions with your little kit that's only got a few remedies in it and it's only got one potency. So you can do a lot, but you do need a lot more potencies. So these 42 remedies in the variety of potencies given at the right time, taking a whole case, you can run a practice with, which is why these, as I said before, which is why these 42 ones are really, really good to have. And the third, I saw John was saying that you can get the Helios kit on Amazon. So it's brilliant, the Helios kit as well. And if you can't get the Ainsworth one, then go ahead and get the Helios one. Start using that. Check out Ainsworth to see if they do send to America, and if they do, how much, whether it's ridiculous price to do the shipping. But have a look at that as well. Okay, so those are your two things. That's the repertory and the Materia Medica, and that's how it works. So we're going to talk about obviously it's difficult to go through all the remedies. That would take us forever and ever. I didn't even do it in 4 years. But there are a few that I'm going to mention that I think are really valuable to know about, to have. Some of you, many of you, hopefully, have come across Arnica. Now, Arnica is our most well-known remedy. And one of the reasons for that is it has a very broad application. So whereas only one person, well, out of 10 might respond to gelsemium with flu, when people have bruising, it's 90% of those people will respond to Arnica for bruising, which is what it is most known for. So it's known for trauma, bruising, and muscle soreness. So Arnica, I used to have on tap, almost like a beer in a bar with my son, because when he was little, he was hyperactive. He would fall off things. He'd jump down off trees. He would bump into things. He was always hurting himself, and he just knew to run to mummy, little pill, and off he went again. So it's kind of good because it's a combination of the shock of what's just happened plus the healing part of it. And then aconite, which was the one that I was showing earlier, is wonderful for sudden onset of symptoms. It's sudden onset of a lot of symptoms, but also for fear and anxiety and shock. So, trauma and shock remedies, if you take care of the trauma and shock first, it relieves a lot of the long-term complications that can occur. If you get a cancer diagnosis, hopefully none of you will ever have that. Some of you may already, but the diagnosis itself is like a curse. It puts you into a terrible state, and that does almost more damage at times than anything else. And so aconite is very useful for that, to just take away that initial shock. Belladonna is good for most high fevers. Again, with that, as I read it out before, with redness and throbbing pain. It's also good for sunstroke and all sorts of other things where there's throbbing pain in your head. And if you have a cut or a mosquito bite or something that starts to get red and throbbing, belladonna. Always think red and throbbing. And hot is belladonna. And I always say to my patients, think homeopathy. If it's an emergency, call 911 or 999, as we do in England, or go straight to your emergency room or straight to your doctor. But if it's not an emergency, go to your kit. So always bear in mind, we are complementary, not alternative. So if there's an infection brewing and you're not sure about it, it looks a bit worrying, don't wait around for homeopathy, because you might pick the wrong remedy, might not be the right potency, and so just go straight for it. to the medical practitioner. And it's you can take remedies alongside drugs. The only thing I would say is that if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, or if you're on thyroxine or thyroid drugs or blood pressure drugs, because we can't monitor how much improvement is occurring. So say, for example, your blood pressure suddenly goes down because of the homeopathic remedies. What are you going to do then? You're still taking the same amount. So you have to have your doctors on board and be working with a professional homeopath so that they can navigate that for you. For digestive issues and hangovers and anything livery, where you're kind of feeling a bit livery, you've overdone it, you've eaten too much food, or whatever, you've indulged yourself, Nux Vomica is really brilliant. So that's also a useful one to know. So I'm just throwing those four in, initially, but just there are many more, obviously. You can use the homeopathic guide in your kits. You can buy a book. You can look on the internet, and there's also apps as well. So everything you need is out there to treat acutes. Acute, which means they come up suddenly and they go suddenly. Anything chronic, anything more complex, you need to see a practitioner about. So you match the remedy to the symptoms, like I've been talking about, and I showed you that book. The best example I ever had of matching the remedy to this to the symptoms in terms of it was constitutional as well. It was the whole person, so I didn't have to work very hard. This woman came to see me. She had the most horrendous eczema. She'd had it for years and years and years, and she was scratching. Like constantly scratching. And it was this kind of movement, this scratching movement. And she had a really tiny little voice like this. And I just looked at her and I just suddenly thought, she just reminds me of a pigeon. I don't know why, but she's a pigeon. And there wasn't a remedy that I could find at the time. There probably is one, but I hadn't looked deeply enough for pigeon. So I just, next time she came in, I'd gone in to find the dirtiest pigeon that I could find. The pigeon's feather that I could find in central London, really toxic and pollution and goodness knows what. I took that feather and I made a homeopathic remedy out of it on my machine, which you can do on the machine. I gave it to her. I didn't tell her what it was. I said, "Oh, remedy, try this." And it was miraculous. It was incredible. Because the symptoms, they were scratchy and itchy and it was like a pigeon that was kind of scratching in the dust. And they're around a lot of, you see them in the cities, and they're just around a lot of stuff that's not good on the skin. And it just worked perfectly. That's kind of constitutional more than specific to the symptoms. But if you've got the symptoms, you would look at, let's say again, you've got that flu, they've just been outside, they've had a sudden exposure, they're suddenly not feeling well, they're a little bit anxious about it. Oh no, am I going to get sick? Am I going to get sick? They're thirsty or they're not thirsty. And you just look at that, look at the symptoms, and you pick the one that cl most closely matches. And then you start with, if you have multiple potencies, with the lowest potency that you have. But if you're using a kit, because 30C is a low potency and it's a good potency that can help quite, it helps acutes quite well. So you would start with your kit, which would be 30C. And then what happens is it's like a car. You turn the engine on, and if the car is working, the engine turns on. You only turn the key once. And then the engine will run down again. Then you have to turn it on again. So it's not the amount of times that you turn, you wouldn't keep turning the engine on. You wouldn't keep giving the car the message that it's time to work now. But you would remind the car, oh, yes, you've run down again. You've stopped. I need to turn it back on again. So it's not the amount of pills that you put into your mouth. It's how often. So if you've got a very high fever, you might run through the remedies really quickly, and you might need a remedy every 10 minutes. You'll find as the symptoms start to return, you take the remedy again. That's how you work it out. If you've got a cold or it's that kind of acute, you can get a bottle of water and you can put one remedy into the bottle of water and let it dilute, shake it a little bit. And then what happens is that the energy signature of that homeopathic remedy informs all the molecules of that bottle of water. And then every sip becomes the same as taking one of these, which is amazing because that means your remedies can last forever. You just put them in water. And if you give it a little extra shake, boom, 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 you might want to bang it a little bit on your hand before you drink it. It will slightly shift the potency so that your body is getting the message again, and then it's getting a message in a slightly higher potency and then a slightly higher potency. So it's a really good way of working. If you go to a homeopathic practitioner, the chances are they'll give you very high potency remedies, 200s, 1M, 10M, 50M. But those are really for people that know what they're doing. There are times that we need those higher potencies, but for acutes and for stuff that you'll be doing, you're fine. So typically, the box will say that you need to take two or three pellets dissolved under the tongue. That's kind of seen as standard. But as I said, it's, I don't go with taking one pellet or two or three. I go with one pellet is enough because it's just the signature that you need. And generally speaking, you will have, if it's not too strong, the acute, it's every 4 to 6 hours, something like that. Reduce frequency as the improvement occurs. But if you're getting better and then it comes back quicker, take another remedy. And if it doesn't improve at all within the first half hour, it's probably the wrong remedy. Try another one that's similar enough. Okay, as you start to improve, then it's best to back off on the remedies. You don't need to keep taking them as you improve. So your body's got the message and you back off on the remedies. But you can't go too wrong. That's the great thing about self-prescribing. You cannot really get it that wrong. So don't worry. And if there's any symptoms persist, worsen, or you've got acutes where you don't give time to homeopathy, straight to the doctor. So I would suggest as well that you take a symptom, that you write a symptom journal, so you track your experience, because some people will respond better than to certain remedies than others, and you'll come to know which remedy is the one that always works for you in that situation. So I use phosphorus a lot. So my phosphorus in that kit is probably empty, and I will. There's certain others that are go-to remedies for me that are similar to my constitution, and therefore I know those are the ones that are going to work for me the best. So keep an eye on that, and always have us. There are different size kits. Like this is an old one, an Ainsworth one. It's like a little one. This is a high potency one, so I carry this one with me. It's 200s of some of the big remedies. And here's another one by another company in England. So always have a little kit with you, a bunch of things that you know are things that are going to work. If you're going abroad and you don't want to take a whole bunch of remedies, just take the ones that you know are most likely to be needed for you. Okay, so I've mentioned aconite, I mentioned arnica, arsenicum is also very useful, arsenicum alb. Or arsenicum album, it's arsen alb in shortened in often in the kits, and it's brilliant for food poisoning, for stomach flu, for diarrhea, burning pain. So it's burning and anxiety and restlessness are some of the keynotes of arsenicum, but there are quite a few others. And phosphorus is very good for respiratory. Can't get to that point. I need to drink water before I can say these words. Respiratory conditions, coughs, bleeding, like bleeding noses, fatigue and anxiety. So phosphorus is good for sensitives often. If you're clairvoyant, you will often have a phosphorus constitution, not always, but sometimes. And then there's pulsatilla, which is great for menstrual irregularities, colds and emotional sensitivity. Again, it's a remedy that comes up a lot for sensitive people. And Roustox, which is good for rashes, injuries with stiffness. It's very good for injuries that get better as you move, like arthritis improves when you move sometimes. And it's often prescribed with a remedy called Ruta, which is Ruta. So Yeah, those are good ones. So remedies are used for a wide spectrum of health issues, and I'm literally just pointing at just so few because, and I'm going to go through some a bit more specific to us. But I could spend the whole night just talking about, the first 10, or even that, the first 10% of the A's, So, okay, now most used remedies for stress. Aconite, Arginit is great for stress. It's anxiety with anticipation, fear of heights, stage fright, digestive disturbance. My mum does Arginit a lot. And I do Arginit in high potency. If I get into a state where I'm like really anxious and worrying about everything all the time for weeks on end, then I've gone into like a chronic state of Arginit, and that will help for me. And then Ignatia is fantastic for grief. It's like your very own counselor in a pill. It's like something's holding your hand. It's amazing. So Ignatia is brilliant for disappointment and grief. A very useful one to use. And I've put some of these remedies in your workbooks, so you've got all of that. Nux vomica for overwork, irritability, sensitivity to noise and light. Someone who tends to go for a lot of stimulants like coffee and tobacco doesn't do well on them. Passiflora is brilliant for sleeping. Someone just asked about that. It's amazing. Passiflora you can get in a health food shop as a herbal tincture, but homeopathic, you're looking for homeopathic passiflora, and it's in the kit. And then remedies for psychics. Again, aconite is often used. Calc carb is very common because it's overwhelmed from excessive sensitivity and being very overburdened. And a calc carb type tends to be, the story of the tortoise and the hare. The calc carb type tends to be the tortoise, so likes to do things slow and steady. And they like to finish with children. You get calc carb children. They tend to have big heads, and they have often open fontanelles. But when they're babies, but they sweat on their heads. Some of you probably have babies, and their heads just tend to sweat more than anything else. And they are little calc carb babies often, and they have issues with eggs. Either they love eggs or they hate eggs. And they don't like it. If they're doing a puzzle and you say it's time to go, they get very upset. They want to finish their puzzle. They like to go through everything slowly and steadily, have a lot of fears. So that's kind of calc carb. And we can be like that often, as I know I do calc carb sometimes. As sensitives, they tend to be sensitive children, calc carb. Kalyphos is all about nervous exhaustion and excessive psychic work where you're just too open all the time. And I talked about phosphorus, I talked about pulsatilla, but sepia is the standard housewife, like troubled housewife. They've had enough. They're the doormat. It's like they've just they can't stand homework anymore. They can't stand, if their husband comes near them, they'll just run. They can't stand the noise of their own children. They've just worked too hard. Their responsibilities have just been too much. And often they have this, that comes from, again, if you're very sensitive and you're a sepia type, you're going to go into a sepia symptoms because you're sensitive. So sepia comes up. Aurum comes up a lot. My son does aurum. He's a perfectionist, and we set a very high standard for ourselves because we know what it's like when other people struggle and other people are sad, and we don't want anyone to be upset. And we feel those deep feelings very, very deeply, and we want to do the best for others, but also for ourselves. We just kind of have this need to, like, well, we have to excel. Not, it can be ambition, but it's like we attach to external things for validation, sometimes make us feel secure. And so it's deep-seated stress. Typically, the businessman that gets to a point where he retires and suddenly has a heart attack. It's very associated with heart stuff. Aurum is gold. And it's that they've gone for the gold standard their whole life. They've worked very, very hard, and suddenly they don't have an identity and they can't handle it, and their heart just pops. So it's that feeling of worthlessness, depression. And you often find when someone's had a heart attack or if they're on heart medication, they can get depressed. And sometimes that's because they go into an aurum state. So then I'm just checking to see if I'm on time. Yes, I am. I'm trying to make sure that I cover everything. So I'm on a strict time schedule. So Renee, I suggest look at Nux Vomica for constipation, because it's usually the liver that it's not always the Nux Vomica, because as I said, there isn't one remedy. We're not looking for one remedy for one symptom. We're looking for the symptom that is you, how you do that remedy. So if you looked under the book for the book in constipation, there we go, just to remind me, bryonia, calc carb, nat mur, Nux Vomica, sepia, silica, sulfur, they all do constipation. So that's, what it relates to. And there's a whole lot of issues. If someone comes to me with constipation, first of all, I look at their liver because it's the most obvious organ support thing. And then I look at things like how are they constipated in their life? How long have they been constipated? You get these children again without homeopathy that are put on stool softeners and things like that because they're constipated. Well, my son, when my his first cousin, he was very close to, left the country. He packed his little Superman suitcase with all his toys, and for a year he carried his suitcase with him wherever he went because he wanted to be with his cousins. And so, just in case, he never voiced that, but I knew that's what was going on. And at the same time, there was this issue of holding on to his poo. He couldn't bear letting anything go because he'd lost his cousins. They'd gone. And so he was holding on to everything. And he would hold on and hold on and hold on. And it developed into a chronic habit. And we used to talk about where the poo goes. Sorry, homeopaths love all the nasty stuff, all the bodily fluids and we're very familiar. We're talking all about that stuff. And we're very happy to talk about all the bits of the body and everything. And so I was, talk to him about where the poo goes and don't worry about it. It's fine. It's happy. And, whatever we said didn't help. It was absolutely astonishing. And it's because he was holding on. Now, luckily, I was doing homeopathy by then and we were able to help him quite easily. He was also wetting the bed. And or not, he, I can't remember exactly how old he was, but he was at the point that he should have been dry and it wasn't happening. And Nat Mur, especially in the 200 potency, is very good for children that wet the bed because Nat Mur is suppression of emotions. So what happens is you're about to wake up because you can feel like you need to go to the loo, but then you start to feel sad because you've lost your cousins or whatever. You're not conscious of it. It's just a feeling. So you push yourself back to sleep and then the baby's children wet the bed. And so Nat Mur just unsuppresses the emotions. And so it also helped with constipation with him. And it was resolved. So you have to look at so many aspects of a chronic condition, I'm afraid. So yeah, see a homeopath. I would highly recommend it. So I talked about the crop circle remedy. There are also such things as meditative provings, and this is new since, well, relatively new, the 1990s. A group of homeopaths realized that they could meditate with a remedy because they were very sensitive, a group of very sensitive homeopaths, and they could, from meditating with a remedy, they could do a proving. They could know what the remedy was going to treat, particularly in terms of spiritual conditions or emotional conditions. So there are over 80 remedies, including things like Berlin Wall and butterfly, obsidian, plutonium. And the new approach was basically created by and the books that came of it were a woman called Madeline Evans and a wonderful homeopath called Colin Griffiths. And with a whole bunch of them, they all started working on these remedies. And I started using many of those, particularly for sensitive people that were high vibrational people. And so they needed high vibrational remedies. And there was a good match with the meditative provings and a lot of my kind of more spiritual clients. You can buy them in Helios, Ainsworth. You can also buy them in the Hahnemann Lab in the US and probably elsewhere. So just a very briefly, a couple of examples. I had a young woman that came to see me with severe psoriasis, and she'd had it for a very, very long time, and it wasn't going away. And she was very calm, very quiet, and very sweet, and very well people pleaser, and all the usual remedies for people pleasing remedies and suppressed emotions, the traditional remedies weren't working with her. But her aunt was a homeopath. She referred her to me because it's difficult to treat your own friends and family if you're constitutionally as a homeopathic practitioner. So obviously you can do it acutely, but deeply you obviously go into it with a bias. So my friend sent her to me, and she loved her aunt, and she was opening to spirituality. I could feel that she was quite sensitive. And her brother was very angry, had some gambling stuff going on, drinking, lots of difficult issues going on with him. And I gave her the remedy red, which was from, this is part of the kind of new remedies, the color remedies. So we have the meditative provings, and then we have the color remedies. So I can't remember if red is a meditative proving or one of the new remedies, but these new spiritual remedies that are coming out, this whole bunch of them. So I gave her red, and it's suddenly she was getting angry and saying, "I'm not going home anymore. He's too angry." She's like happier being living alone. She started to fight back with her boyfriend or stand up for herself. And what we saw was that the psoriasis just went and went and went. And every time I saw her, there was less and less and less till there was none. It was amazing. Then I had another patient who came to see me, who I gave amethyst, the crystal. And what was happening was that her mother was a priest, and she had a very spiritual nature, and she was suppressing her spiritual nature. She was just going about life. She wasn't really interested in anything, but someone had sent her to a homeopath, and I gave her amethyst because I knew her mother was spiritual, was a priest, and that she was reacting to the mother being a priest. But she was highly spiritual. Again, I kind of felt that vibration from her, and she is now a reflexologist, she's a Bach flower practitioner, she's studied EFT, you name it, she's studying. She completely opened up with that remedy very, very quickly. She suddenly completely switched around from being cynical and to being open, and she started doing sculptures, and she was sending me these beautiful sculptures. She said, "I just felt this need to create." And there were sculptures of angels and all sorts. She just couldn't believe what was coming out of her. There was the Berlin Wall was an amazing example. A businessman who was very, very unable to open up. His wife was accusing him of walling up his emotions. I couldn't break through. It's like he couldn't get through the difficulties of the same habitual behavior emotionally. Gave him Berlin Wall, again, transformed amazingly. And then there is, oh, hang on, just check that. Just switch that off. I forgot to switch the notifications off. And then the remedy, hang on a second, let me get back to it. Vernix, which is part of the matridonal series, which were provings done in a meditative way by a different group of people, by a wonderful woman called Melissa Asylum, who's no longer with us. And she proved amniotic fluid and vernix and umbilical cord, which were an amazing series of homeopathic remedies, and vernix, which is the thing, the stuff around babies when they're born, that waxy substance, which gets wiped off immediately. And what giving back the vernix in homeopathic potency, what happened was, people that felt very fearful suddenly have more confidence because they felt like they had their skin back, their emotional and spiritual skin back, and a whole load of other ways that that remedy became really, really valuable for people. So mind blowing. Okay, moving quickly on. And someone was asking, are the colors remedies linked? Yes, they are, but not completely. There's new things that came out of it as well. And upping your dose, that's really more a case for a professional homeopath. If you have a couple of potencies with you and you're working on acutes, I would stick to 30s. And for people in the UK, there's a company, in fact, you can phone it from overseas, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure, called the Homeopathy Helpline. And they are absolutely amazing, something like £1.70 a minute. And you phone them, and they will tell you straight away which remedies to use. As long as you've got the kit, you can phone them straight away. I phoned them once. My son has just eaten a pot of narcissus flowers, and this is true. I know they're slightly poisonous. He was three. What do I give him? I was in such a panic. And they said, okay, this, give him Nux Vomica. I'd already given him the ones that they suggested, so I was very relieved, and get him to hospital just in case, which I did. No, he was fine. But you know, in those moments where you need a professional, and Ainsworth will also, if you speak to Ainsworth, they will advise you as well about which remedies. So if it's an acute condition, and they will say if they suggest it's a higher potency, but otherwise I would stick to the 30 potency. If you're not sure which remedy, you can use your pendulum, and you can put the remedy in your hand, and you know, it's like, is it this one? You know, see if you're getting a yes or a no. Try a couple of them if you're not sure which one, between which one. It's a really good thing to do. Okay. Wow. Going so fast here, and there's still a lot to teach. I'm going to talk about Barflower remedies now. So Barflowers are amazing. They are made of flowers and plants. And the primary aim is to treat the anxiety, or the basically fear, anxiety, depression, indecision, the emotional, mental, emotional well-being of a patient. And Edward Bach was also a homeopath, and again was also a physician. And he decided that he realized he could tune in to the healing effects of the plants just by psychometrizing, like we do when we hold an object like a ring or a watch that belonged to someone else. He could psychometrize plants, and you can psychometrize. If you can psychometrize objects, you can psychometrize plants. You can psychometrize crystals. Like, what are they showing me? Which chakras are they helping? What are they, you know, what else, what emotions do they support, etc. And you can do the same with plants. I wouldn't eat any of them unless you knew they were safe. But that's basically what he did. By sitting under trees and being with plants, he was very tuned in. And this is in the 1930s. And let's not forget, this is a very, very intense time, where the same time that the Crowley deck came about, you know, that there was extreme war trauma, like you can't imagine going on. And these incredible systems came out. You know, I mean, the Crowley deck, Crowley wasn't great himself, what he ended up being particularly, but the deck is one of the most amazing decks. And the same with the Bach flowers, influenced generations of people. So Bach believed that negative states of mind, like fear and anxiety, are the root to all illness. And I believe that too, that not just the negative states of mind, but the negative states of the soul. And if we're not in alignment with our soul, and we're not truly working on our own healing, not only physically, but mentally, and emotionally and spiritually, if we're not working on all of those, you know, we go away and try and be the best medium we can, but there's always going to be blocks. It is up to us to heal ourselves first and to put the work in, dramatically focus on our own well-being. The amount of mediums that I've seen that get drunk, smoke cigarettes, that eat the most dreadful diets, that live in the most terrible conditions, that just have a very dramatic and unwell life. That's what, such a word. Hang on, take some water here. And it's toxic. That's the word I'm looking for, isn't it? Toxic life. toxic life, toxic living conditions. You just have to create clarity in your life, in your body, all around. You can't just think we can do this work, which is very hard work. We're really being there for other people without that deep personal work. So they're also non-toxic, also non-habit forming. You can give them to babies, etc., etc. Same thing that go to a practitioner if you want the long-term chronic help. But it was quite wonderful because what happened, I'm holding these cards here, which I got, which are absolutely beautiful, and I'd highly recommend that you get these cards. They're the Bach Flower Remedy cards. I can't remember. I put a link to them in your workbooks, I believe, but they are absolutely fabulous and they're just so beautiful, the pictures. And they've got like a little cheat sheet of what they do, of some little bits on the back, and then the actual, keywords at the bottom, which are really, really useful. And we are energy systems, aren't we? That we can, we have these beautiful tarot guides that help us select the tarot guides that we do. I have homeopathy guides, homeopaths that tell me remedies that I don't know, and I have to, I have to look very hard in very old books that are very rare to find those remedies. And it's like that was definitely from someone who was in the past who has come to help me, and I'm very lucky with my remedies because they come to mind, and with my memory, that's very useful. And so we are energy fields. So, using these cards is a really great way to work out what it is that you need at the time. And I did it on my husband the other day. It was quite funny. And he looked at me like, did you put that card there? It was quite funny. But anyway, he came up with the first lot of seven helpers, which he believed, that they were how we were stuck in life, where we were stagnant, the habits and old conditioning and the limiting beliefs that we have, the chronic conditions that we have. And he kind of believed that that came from the innocence that we had as children and how those innocent little creatures that we all were. When we realized the world was as it was, how we adapted and obscured that innocence. And so that's how, he developed these seven. And if you are looking at which of the Bach Flower remedies suit you, I would have a look first of all at the seven and then just see, okay, for example, oak. Oak was one that comes up a lot for me because my mother had four children. She had a very sick grandmother lived with us, and she worked, and I had to bring myself up pretty much a lot of the time, cook for myself, look after my sister, do a lot of that kind of thing. And so I learned endurance, but that I had to struggle no matter what, and I kept going no matter what because I knew that's what I had to do as a child. I couldn't just live freely anymore, and so that was kind of the one of the seven for me that's kind of like an underlying part. So if I was, you can mix up the combinations, and that's a really good thing to do. You can either work with one at a time and deal with one issue at a time and take that essence for a few. Take it for a few weeks or whatever and see what changes, or you can combine them. And I like the idea of combining one of the seven helpers, one of the 12 healers, and one of the 19, which were the three kind of developments as he went on. Because the 12 healers then were the primary emotional states. It's like how we integrated those difficulties. So for me, I could pick a load of them, but for me, Rock Rose comes up. It's like I had to be, very brave, and I had to be very courageous. So, as a young woman and as a teenager, I used to do really take big risks. I happily jumped out of an aeroplane and did skydiving. And it wasn't for the adrenaline kick, it was like to prove that I was strong. And then at the other side of me was panicky and terrified. So it was kind of a combination of both. So, you could choose one of those as well. And then look at the second 19, which was, he developed the seven first. He found those. Then he did found the next 12. And then he found the rest of them, basically. And these are often about What happens when you have the adaptation, it kind of integrates and becomes certain behavior. And then as you do that kind of thing over time, which is, becomes the deep suffering that we carry around with ourselves, and that becomes our experience. So you kind of deepen into it. It is sort of, again, another adaptation. So walnut became a big thing for me. I used to have to protect myself, and I felt very exposed. And it's a very big thing for sensitives. We are very, we need to, in our families, we're very triggered a lot. And so walnut became a bath flower remedy I depended upon an awful lot, and larch as well, which I put a drop in my water just before I started. Larch is about confidence, like feeling good, because I went around and did some really silly things when I was young, and it kind of made me doubt myself hugely. And so I've spent the next 40 years trying to trust myself again and feeling confident, and that will come up obviously and triggered in situations where I'm doing something new. So there's all the whole lists that you've got. It's not complicated with bath flowers. It really is not complicated, which is fabulous, because it means that if you're a bit concerned about starting with your working with your physical symptoms, then start with the bath flowers. And you can either use cards to find out what's your thing, or you can use kind of the equivalent to the cheat sheet, which, there's a lovely little book. Where did I put it? Oh, here it is. There's a lovely little guide to the bath flower remedies by Julian Barnard. And Julian Barnard has done a lot of genuine work with bath flowers, so I kind of like the fact that he's still making bath flowers in the original way, works very hard to keep Edward Bath's tradition going in a beautiful way. It's a very simple book. When do you take the remedies? How do they work? And then talks a bit about dowsing as well. And then does he go through them? Yeah, he goes through them in sort of in a repertory way for loneliness, for oversensitive to ideas and influences, for despondency and despair. And then he just lists which ones do which. So you can learn a lot from that. That's an old book that was written a while back. If you get a kit, and they're expensive, so I warn you. So this is the kit that I just bought myself a new one recently. So this one was made by, it was the one that I could get quickest, Creature Comforts. And it comes with a thing at the top, which is, tells you which ones. So if you're not sure and you need to kind of to be reminded of what they do, then there you go. You've got all your entire kit. I've got a whole bunch of, I had bought a kit many years ago, and then I've got a whole bunch of little individual ones. So it's nice that I've got the whole thing now in one place. And this comes with a little book. Well, it's actually a leaflet, and it just gives you, it's just, these are the same people that make the cards, which is another reason why I like the kit. And they just tell you what you need to know. And work with it intuitively, use your pendulum, just allow yourself to get to know them, just hold them and psychometrize them, just really work with them and get to know what you need to use and what are yours. So rescue remedy, many of you may have used, has anyone used rescue remedy? Yeah, okay, so it's absolutely brilliant. Rescue remedy, when I had a practice, when I was working as a counsellor, as a substance abuse counsellor, and my wasn't I wouldn't say my practice, but not practice, what would you call it? My treatment lot, cohort, whatever you want to call it, client group, was all addicts with AIDS, lots of them homeless, lots of them getting out of control, relapsing. And they would be out on the run for days on end, and they'd come into my room, my office. I'd give them a drop of rescue remedy, and it would bring them back into their bodies. It was just incredible. So it contains Star of Bethlehem, Rock Rose, Cherry Plum, and Clematis, which are great remedies for panic. And I have that everywhere. I don't go anywhere without it. It's amazing at funerals when you just, I cry at every funeral, even if I don't know the person. And I like think this is awful. It's like the daughter's standing there and I'm the one at the back uncontrollably sobbing. So it's like I take rescue remedy. So any situation where that might occur, whether it's the cinema or, whatever it is, it's like, no, I don't want to be the one that's blubbering all over the place. So it's very, very good. And then, fluorescences for your spiritual development provide us with such support. And again, it's kind of like a magical mirror, like tarot, like homeopathic remedies. It shows you what it is. Now, Fawn, yes, they are alcohol based, but you can get non-alcohol based as well. So, it doesn't have to be the alcohol ones. Okay. So the 19 series, which was the last lot that Barflower did, apparently, he considered them they were more spiritualized. So you probably will find that you'll be drawn to those a lot. But I think we need the basic ones as well, the ones that we started off with that you would have probably been needing when you were young and then when you were, going through life. So you can take them two ways. You can either take them under your tongue, or you can take them in water. But they recommend that you always dilute them. So what you want to do is you want to take you and I think I put this in your book. You wanted to put 4 drops if you're doing it for yourself. You want to do you, 4 drops in a bottle of water and just sip it 4 times a day. So if you want to make a stock drop, a stock, sorry, a stock bottle, so you've got your bottle ready so that you can then take that and put it straight into your mouth, then you put 2 drops into a larger bottle. I haven't got one here, but a larger bottle, take 2 drops, put it in your larger bottle, and then take 2 drops again, during the day. So, and then if you're doing a rescue remedy stock bottle again, it's 4 drops 4 times a day. And then if you've got an acute situation, then you just put it in like this is an acute situation effectively because it's going to come and go quickly. Is my water when my mouth is dry or if I'm feeling anxious, which I haven't throughout this whole call, which is great because it's the first time I've done this. And no, it's just you guys. I know most of you, so I feel very happy chatting away for hours to you. So I just take a sip. And that's what you do if you're in an acute situation. You can sip every couple of minutes or whatever. So, chronic or long-term issues, I would go to a Barflower, foundation registered practitioner or someone that comes with a really good recommendation, because it's always important to, it's useful if you can actually, have been told in advance that person knows what they're doing. Okay, so the remedies, let me just, how the remedies are made are interesting. So they are made in a couple of different ways. There's the sun method, where they take the flowers and it's used for the most delicate flowers, but some practitioners do it this way, totally. And they're in full bloom. There's a glass bowl filled with spring water and it's in direct sunlight for 3 hours. So you can make your own remedies in this way. So it's put in that direct sunlight for 3 hours. And then there's the other option, which is used for woodier plants that have woodier stems and such like. And you wait until and those woodier plants bloom when the sun is weak. And those, you take the flowering parts, so the flowers, all the bits, the little tendrils and everything else, and you boil them very lightly. For half an hour in pure spring water. Use pure spring water in either option. Both of those create the heat. So you've got the heat from the sun or you've got the heat from boiling. So either way it is, it's heated and that frees up the essence. Like with homeopathic remedies, the dilutions free up the essence. So this is freed up through heat. And then you mix equal amounts of brandy or another alcohol, which is like high volume alcohol content. You can use medicinal alcohol if you want, but brandy is the traditional way of using it. Brandy was an alchemical mixture to begin with. So it's got its own healing properties. So it's always great to use brandy. So you mix half and half, and you've got your mother tincture. You've got one of these right there yourself, doing it your own. So it's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So let's see what else I need to tell you. Okay, so hang on a minute. I've missed a step, which is that this is your mother tincture. Well, no, this isn't your mother tincture. This is the stock tincture. So the stock tincture is take is you 2 drops of that is taken into 30 mils of brandy, and then that becomes this. So I've got a couple that I made myself, which are the stock, well, not the stock, sorry, the mother tincture. It's getting late. You can see I'm getting tired. And then this is the actual one that you work from. Okay, so we have got, let me see if there's anything that I've missed. I would recommend that all of you get hold of, if you're not going to buy anything else, I'd recommend that you get hold of cherry plum and do a meditation with it. We haven't really got time to do that now, but you can just hold it or put it under your tongue and just sit with it or any of the other remedies and do a meditation, because I feel like that the cherry plum is so beautiful for all of us, because we experience the same kind of things, which is we're not in touch with you. We block our intuition. And cherry plum accelerates that flow. It encourages you to access the subtle realms. It quietens the rational mind. It removes barriers of conditioning, like, oh, mediumship is bad, or social upbringing, like you'll never succeed at anything, or cultural bias, like, oh, you're all ridiculous fortune tellers, whatever else it is. And it removes the obstacles of the thinking mind. So cherry plum for mediumship or using your intuition for any of the work that I teach is a very good thing to use. And you can use it if you take put it in your glass of water, if you're doing platform or if you're doing readings, take a little sip. And just remember that the flowers are with you as well as everything else. Now, I've been to, I was talking to you earlier about my amazing mentor that I spoke to years ago, and he's the one that created the homeopathic machine. And he gave me a remedy, which I've probably talked about before in one of the academy calls, called Ignis, which is fire, which again is one of these new remedies, meditative proving. And he said to me, you can take this, but if, because I was saying, I'm so bored, I've had enough of life. That's where I said, if God doesn't stand in front of me in 3D, I don't want to know. I've seen angels, I've seen this, I've seen, but I want them physically in front of me because I've had enough. I have no faith. No, it's just really losing it. And he said, yeah, I'll give you a remedy and it's fire, but I'll just have to tell you that if you take this, you will be on fire from every orifice of your body. It will completely change your life. I'm like, fine, give it to me. And he said, okay, I'm going to give it to you now in the room. And I said, okay, that's fine. Let's put it in my mouth. And within a month, my whole life had fallen to pieces and changed. I mean, it was so dramatic. It was unbelievable. There were so many things happened to me. My massive fights with my old family, problems with my son, just dumped a whole load of friends, changed my perception about a whole lot of things. It's just like everything, it was like the phoenix rising from the ashes. And who I am today is because of that one remedy, which was absolutely incredible. So, the movements and changes that can occur sometimes with one tiny little pill. And it's not, I know for a fact it's not placebo, because I've watched, because I'm so cynical, I've watched babies. They don't know what remedies they're getting. Tower and liquid form, exactly. I have, my animals don't know what remedies they're getting. They don't even know they're getting a remedy. And half the time when my son was little, he didn't know he was getting remedies. And it's just absolutely miraculous. And I really encourage you. I hope that I haven't given you too much information so that you're thinking, oh no, I don't really, this is too much for me and I can't be bothered with all of this. I hope I've given you enough to go out and at least buy arnica, Nux vomica, and cherry plum. If nothing else, those three. And then, if you can get yourself a kit, it's like anything. It's like your tarot cards, it's like your mediumship. If you don't practice, you're never going to know because, it's not going to happen. It's in itself. You really must, be able to work at it.